are listening to Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase with host Matt Kona. The Naked Comedy Showcase can be seen the first Thursday of every month at 9:30 at Improv Boston, Central Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with host Andy Ofeisch. Without any further ado, take your clothes off or leave them on. Here is Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase.
Is it time?
It's time.
Hello, clothed, possibly clothed people listening to the possibly naked show. How's everybody doing out there in Naked Land? I am guest host Dan Martin. You're probably wondering, where's Matt Kona? I can't hear his beard. he's not here. He went away.
Sometimes his beard's a little quiet anyways.
Does it keep it down?
Yeah, it keeps the beard down on the show. Yeah.
Has he shaved it off again yet?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
But I did see he did Photoshop something a while back where I thought he shaved his head.
But it was fake?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it might have just been pulled back, but it looked like he shaved his head. And
yeah.
I texted him immediately. He was like, no.
Can't do it.
No.
It looked like you're about to like join a cult if you're him.
Yeah, freaked me out when he cut all his hair off the first time. I was like, oh, look at you underneath all that.
Yeah.
All right, Who is this human being?
Let's not make this about him.
Okay. He's not here.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Fuck that guy, Matt Kona.
Totally. Plus, I like your beard's tone.
Thank you. It's fine. I haven't shaved in a few days. I've had a hectic work week. I've got some nose hairs that are trying to join my mustache. It's not a good look, but no, I've been sleeping.
Matt's beard can sometimes be a bit too forward.
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
True.
And loud.
That's true. Speaking.
Sorry, Matt.
Speaking is Ethan Andre. Ethan, hello.
How you doing?
So we're going to just set this up. I'm Dan Martin. You'll hear Nick, whose last name escapes me.
David.
Nick David.
Hoo-ah.
Who's going to be my guest host. He tells me, I don't talk much. And then I'm like, no, you're going to talk. We're going to have you. You're going to be my guest host.
Well, my official title is producer of the show.
Yeah, I know, but.
But I do, pipe in when I have something to say.
So you'll be my Robin Quivers.
I will be your Robin. I will quiver over here.
Ooh. Puns.
Yes. Hey.
Also joining us is Julie, and I don't know if I'm going
to
say this right.
You're not close.
Ms. Rahi.
That's not close.
Ms. Rahi.
Yeah, that's better. That's it.
Ms. Rahi.
Ms. Rahi.
Okay. And is that extra Z there at the end too?
There's no extra Z. Yes.
Oh, that's how Matt spelled
it. He definitely spelled it wrong.
Which most people think that that's an Italian name, but it's a Jewish name.
But had Matt spelled it correctly, I guarantee you, I would have said Ms. Rahi. Because I'm not dumb.
Most people don't get it right, so.
I know, but I work with people. Hey, you know, I love myself. Who loves me more than me? No one. So, Julie Mizrahi, thank you for joining us.
Yep.
Ethan, Andre, also, thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is the Naked Comedy Show podcast. We talk to people who, usually up front, we'll talk to people who have not done the Naked Show before. We'll talk to them before their set, and we will talk to them after their set. Julie, I'm interested in talking to you.
Okay.
Because you are nervous AF.
I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm everything.
Yeah, the nerves. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a bad nervous.
Yeah.
But you're nervous. You have nerves.
I do.
And they're us.
I have that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, Julie, you've done in August.
You did
the audience participation. Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I came up. I had like a minute planned, and it went amazing. It was so exhilarating. And then Andy asked me to come back and do like a 5-minute set, and I was like, all right, I can do that. And so this past like 2 months, even I've been like practicing. Or like coming up with new material.
And how does one practice for the Naked Show? You get naked and do comedy for cats?
I did a dress rehearsal today.
An undress rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Usually I just, you know, have clothes on and talk to people and I'm like, how does this joke sound? And people
You were telling me the first time that you did it, that you kept running your jokes by your roommate.
Yep.
Yeah. And was she involved in this one?
Yes, definitely. And more people were involved because more people found out that I did this and wanted to help. So it's like
they wanted to help. They wanted to see you naked. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who doesn't?
I mean, the amount of stand-up comedy dicks that I have to catalog in my brain since I started 3 months ago is insane.
Yeah.
And it's like the D to V. It's a very very slippery slope.
I'm here to help you with that ratio.
Thank you. Well, I'm actually not gonna see your vagina tonight.
Man.
I will be back here. But
that's,
you know what?
Unfortunate.
It's fine.
You.
One can dream. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But God bless the nearly sold out Improv Boston.
Yeah, sold out. That's crazy.
That's every month.
Wow.
Yeah, we are a niche show.
Nakedness, I guess.
Nietzsche.
I like Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. It's a very philosophical crowd out there.
Yeah. One guy turned into a cockroach. That wasn't Nietzsche, but whatever. We'll just pretend.
It's his brother.
Yeah, whatever. We'll just do what we want.
His twin.
Yeah. So, all right. So you did that. So you, when you did audience participation, for those of you listening out there in Naked Land, it's like the
I really like this place. I kind of want to go there.
Yeah, it's where you live. No clothes, no inhibitions. But people out there listening to the podcast, the audience participation part has been a part of the show since its inception, and it is where we break the show in the middle, kind of like an intermission, and we ask, hey, is there anybody out there that wants to come up and do a joke naked? And if you don't have a joke, someone will be backstage. The past couple of years, it's been me. You'll come backstage. I'll say, do you have a joke? If not, I will give you a terrible street joke. Two of my favorites are, what do you get when you cross a highway with a bicycle? Killed. And the other one is, why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom? Because the P is silent. So those.
That's a good one. I like that.
My 10-year-old daughter told me the second one. She's a genius. Yeah. She always messes it up, though. I had to like put it together myself because she's dumb. But those are my two favorites. So that's when you come up, you have a joke, whatever. So you came up.
Yep.
And you had a joke.
I had lots of jokes.
Are you a comedian?
Maybe I am now. I was not before, but.
So you took your clothes off and you were like, damn it, I'm a stand-up comic now.
Yeah. I was like, you might as well go all in. If you're going to do stand-up, might as well do it naked.
So have you gone to open mics?
I haven't. I haven't done any open mics.
So for 2 months, you got naked for your cats and your roommates.
Exactly.
I'm assuming you have cats.
I have two.
She has two cats. This is amazing.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I was probably the best choice to host this show. I could tell who has cats. I could tell who's nervous. So you have two cats. So you've been doing, you've been practicing for people.
Yes.
But not at shows.
No shows. But, I mean, they laugh. It's kind of like a show. Yeah.
But is this going to, and we'll talk to you after you set too, and you're going to do 5 minutes. You've never done a set.
Never.
You didn't go out and practice. Like out in practice. You didn't go to bars. You didn't grind it out.
Especially because this is catered to nakedness. Like I couldn't really do the set with clothes. I'd have to tweak it a little.
Weird.
So a lot of your set is going to be centered around the fact that you're naked?
Look at my titties.
I mean, it definitely helps.
Yeah.
I talk about my boobs a lot.
Check out my boobies.
Yeah.
I remember that from your last set.
Yeah. There's a lot of boob stuff. So.
A lot of boob stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure, 5 minutes?
I'm sure people are going to hate that.
Yeah, but the great thing is you can see them as I'm talking about them, so
my wife,
it's a nice visual.
My wife gets bored if I spend more than 5 minutes on boobs. Yeah, you know what I mean? She's like, move on.
Moving along, kid. Let's go.
Moving on down the line. Let's go, chief. So, you know what I mean?
Your wife seems nice.
She's a very nice lady. I have to say that. I'm contractually
tough
bound.
Love.
Yeah, no, she's fine. She only burns me with cigarettes and sometimes, but she doesn't smoke. So it's like really rare. Okay. Anyway, I'm scared about going home. Anyway, so you're going to do 5 minutes on boobs. Are you going to move around the body?
Yeah. I don't want to give away kind of what I'm going to talk about. I'll talk about it.
However,
after.
This is not live.
Okay.
So you can't give it away. Nobody's going to see your set that's listening to this.
Yeah, this will be out next week or week after.
I see.
This is an isolated.
So there are a lot of cancer jokes because I talk about how I had breast cancer.
Oh.
And so it gets pretty intense. Hopefully people can laugh at cancer. Yeah. I can, so.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, you should hear some of the stuff I try to make people laugh at. You did. You saw my set in August, so that's fine. You can be. But so you have a positive outlook now. You survived breast cancer.
Yeah, I have a lot of funny stories about cancer, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I almost feel bad 5 minutes ago. I'm like, man, you're going to talk about your boobs. But then you're like, because I had cancer, and now I'm like, I am such a dick.
Yeah.
But
I don't
feel bad. She has two cats, so we're fine.
Yeah.
Cats are people's best friends.
They are.
They say dogs, but no, cats. I have a cat named Betty White, and she's amazing.
We have a cat in our apartment, and I think that she's the worst. I really think she's the worst. And so that's a problem, right? But, but like, you know how people always say that like, my cat's awesome because it's like a dog.
Yeah.
Right? Well, this cat is like a dog, but only because it, like, acts like a bitch, you know?
Ethan, ladies and
really,
gentlemen.
I'm really, yeah, thanks. All right, I'm not going to do this yet. Good night, that's all.
Good night, everybody. But back to Julie real quick. Julie Mizrahi,
yep.
Matt Kona, fuck you and your extra Z's. You know? Yeah. The only time I want extra Z's is when I'm taking a nap. Am I right? Boom. Nailed it.
Way out.
Z's.
Nice. He set you up for that joke.
Yeah. You lay him up, I knock him down.
Matt Kona set that up for, set you up for that joke 2 months ago.
Welcome to Taking Z's with Julie Mizrahi.
That's not a very good name for a comedy show.
Yeah. We gotta come up with something better.
Extra Z's with Julie Mizrahi. He's easy. So. That's all I had. So yeah, you did that. So you've been practicing, but is this going to, and we'll talk after you're set too, but just to set you up for later, is this going to get you to grind it out? And do you know what grind it out
is? I don't.
I don't mean like strip. Like, I mean, like, is this going to get you to start like going to mics and doing, you think you're going to do comedy?
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah.
Do you work now? Do you have like a job?
I have a real job.
Did you quit it?
I
gotta quit and pursue comedy.
You're gonna have to get around that job. That's gonna be a tough thing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to work around that.
Well, yeah, we'll see how the set goes. If it goes great, I might quit tomorrow.
Do you have like a corporate job or?
I got a real job.
Yeah. I have a real job. I work with,
it's
I had
real.
A,
that's,
I had
that's
a corporate, like I'm a,
need.
Yeah, I'm a supervisor where I work and I had a corporate like meeting today.
I don't think that's a real.
I had a team meeting.
I don't know if that's a real job.
No, I did. I work with disabled adults.
I believe you. I just don't know if it's a real job or not. Julie, yeah.
Oh, Julie's job.
She seems to know that it's real. That's
yeah.
All.
I had a corporate meeting today, and I was afraid to tell, like, the COO was there. And she's like, oh, you have a comedy show tonight. And I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm going to have my dick out. Like, it's like, but I was like, yeah, it's at Improv Boston. She's like, oh, that's a great venue. I'm like, yeah. And I didn't tell her anything. I was like, you should come. If you're in Boston, she's like, oh, I won't be in Boston tonight, but I will next time. I'm like, yeah, you should totally come to my show. It's first Thursday of every month.
Did you say this is the head of the HR department?
She's the COO of my entire company.
Oh, Jesus.
And the senior director was there, and they were like, yeah, Dan, we heard you're great. I'm like, it's the first Thursday, 9:30 in Prep Boston. You can get your tickets online. I'll send you a link. I didn't tell them anything about it.
You can boost all the way up. Climb your way up.
Yeah,
I'm from this.
But you know what?
I think it's risky.
It'll be fine.
But you could. It's not a win or lose. It's like a jackpot.
Yeah.
Or just lose a little bit.
Lose a little
just
bit.
A little
it's
bit.
A jackball right. spot.
Just
so we I bullshitted a little bit about that board meeting because I noticed you were getting your headphones set back up. But so you have a job.
Yeah.
So is it like corporate or?
I work in sports.
Sport? Yeah. You work in sports?
Yeah, I'll just say that.
Whoa.
Yep.
What could
athletics.
It be? Does anyone want to? Sports medicine?
No, I run some sports programs, sports leagues.
Oh, you run some leagues?
Yeah. I love to play sports, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very athletic.
Volleyball, fantasy football, what are we talking about?
All of those, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're for kids since you're being so standoffish about committing to it. So I'm gonna venture to say they're kids sports programs.
I just, yeah.
So is it a day?
I can cut any of this out that you want me to if you're worried about it. So I can cut whatever you want out of it.
Well, my question is it a day job?
Yes.
All right, so I bumped the table. So you have your nights to do. You think this is gonna get, were you feeling it like leading up to this? Were you like, well, I don't know, if I do this and this happens, like, I might do comedy. Were you feeling that?
Not really. I'm more into, it sounds bad, but like, I really want to meet a guy tonight. I was like, you know, naked comedy.
Wait a second.
Yeah. I was like excited to like meet people over here.
When Matt Kona said you were doing the show, he didn't say, here, I'm handing you a fucking like golden. You're trying to like, oh, John Baglio is here and he's massaging me. And if that was a lie, I wouldn't be so calm right now. Thank you, John. So, you want to meet a guy tonight?
Yeah, I was more excited about that than like doing stand up again. I'm like, maybe tonight I'll meet my guy.
So you're thinking I'm naked and they see that up front.
Right.
So what guy is
Are you trying to get laid or are you just trying to
Yeah, because I'm telling you. Long term.
Yeah, more boyfriend than laid. Yeah.
Okay, because you don't have to get naked to get laid. Like you just have to be you.
Right. No,
this
I'm
is
not
amazing.
That. Yeah, I'm looking for the boyfriend.
We're talking. So. like professional comedians come in and you know what they do? They massage me. This is this is how who I am in Boston. So yeah, that's the part that really bothers me.
They're not even naked yet, folks.
Lifting clients.
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
John Baglio is grinding his elbow into the back of Dan Martin.
This is amazing right
he's
now.
He's really enjoying it a lot.
I had questions and I was going to make fun of her for trying to meet a guy. Thank
he's
you.
He's lost himself.
So that's what you're thinking? Like, so have you been dating?
Yeah, I'm on the dating apps.
The Tinders, the Grindrs.
Yes.
Is Grindr for straights?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, you said guy, so I'm not.
Yeah.
I hate to assume gender and right. all that in this day and age, but she said guy.
Yeah. Right? I use the Jewish app, J-Swipe.
Oh, it's J-Swipe. Is that a J-Date?
Like
that. Side?
Yep.
Side app?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between J-Swipe and Tinder? Jews?
Yeah, smaller dicks.
Smaller? Oh, my God. I was just throwing your people under the bus.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No.
Julie Mizrahi hating on the Jew dicks.
Definitely a lot less foreskin on jswipe.com.
There you go.
More circumcision. It's nice. Yeah.
More foreplay.
Yeah.
And less foreskin.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's our new motto.
I think Nick and I just started a website.
We did.
So you're dating. So what... So this is great. So what, how's your dating experience been that you go, you know what? I'll probably meet someone at the Naked Show instead. Like,
I mean, it hasn't worked so far. Like, I don't have a boyfriend, so
yeah.
Try something new.
Well, you seem fun. Nobody's going out with you and like getting a second date, third date.
I get a couple seconds, couple thirds, but.
No fourths. No commitments.
Yeah. That third one, it's either a go or go home and they always just like, they leave. They're like,
have you told any of them that you're going to do naked stand-up?
I haven't told dates. I haven't really been on dates in the past couple months, but...
Just took some time off.
Yeah, focusing on my comedy.
To meet your guy here. Did you invite anyone from your apps?
No. But I have two friends out there right now.
But friends?
Yeah.
But you weren't like, hey, potential suitors.
Well, I told one guy...
Come check out my box.
I told one guy today. Yeah. I was like, I'm doing stand-up tonight. I didn't tell him where or what. But.
Yeah.
He didn't respond. So.
That's the trick.
There it is. You don't tell him. Yeah.
You just don't let him know. You just show up and you're like, there's all my shit.
Yeah. There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you're going to hear some jokes.
I met my wife on OkCupid.
Oh, wow.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I understand.
How long ago was that?
We've been together for almost 4 years now.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to figure out how long OkCupid's been around.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's been a while.
I've been with my wife for the last almost 10 years.
But, oh, yeah.
But now I'm getting a divorce, so I've been on all these. Now I'm starting to go on all these dating apps that weren't available
when
I was single.
Have you met Julie?
Julie.
What's up?
We just did a high five. Julie and I just did a high five.
Yo,
it was a great connection.
For you podcast folks that can't see it, a high five is when two people extend their arms as high as they can.
Well, she wasn't excited about people with foreskin. I have one, so.
Oh, you have one?
There we go.
You're like,
I won't get naked for you right now, but at least now you know.
You're like Walmart. You got the rollback.
That's
an oldie but a goodie that I made up a while. But anyway, so you're on the dating sites then, Nick.
Yeah. So I don't know when they've been around. That's why I asked how long you guys have been together, because OkCupid could have been 15 years ago. I just don't.
Yeah. For me, it was 4 years ago, but I think it was around a little bit before that too. But I just, I liked it. I tried. So are you on the free ones? Do you do a pay one?
No, I don't pay.
The pay ones are weird because the pay ones make the men pay, but the women don't always pay.
I think I don't really know.
Is that new now? Where the women pay?
I think all the free ones you can pay.
I think all women should pay. That's weird. Don't edit that out.
Wait, how did you find out that they don't make the women pay?
Well, I mean, there was a while back when I was doing Match.com. Yeah. I paid $54 a month.
But your female alias
didn't
get a bill.
But the women that I dated or that I met on there didn't pay. Like, they, at least then.
Interesting.
That's the trick.
You
go to clubs. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been to fucking clubs forever. I'm making it up. But I feel like you used to go to clubs and they would let women in for free and they would charge guys.
No, that's exactly right. And you said 10 years, so that's about when clubs were booming.
That's right. That's when there were clubs.
Yeah.
People went up to clubs. And people even go to clubs anymore?
What's a fucking... No, people text. People J-swipe.
They text and then they stay home and Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the new club.
I'm married. If I'm gonna Netflix and chill, it's by myself. Just like warm myself up and watch Child's Play. You know?
That sounded fucking awful.
It's a good movie, but also I masturbate. So, all right, back. This is we're getting. So, you're dating. Not haven't dated in a couple months because you're focusing on this. Mm-hmm. You wrote some jokes.
Yep.
About your boobs.
Yeah, and other things.
And other things. Yep. Other parts of your body, possibly. Life experiences.
Yep.
All of that. And you're hoping to meet somebody. I think I've wrapped it up.
Yep, exactly.
So we're going to talk to you after your set.
Yep.
And you, I have the lineup, are going to be
I think I'm after, I told him after the volunteers. I have some volunteer jokes.
You're right before me.
Okay.
So set them up.
Yeah.
Set them up and I'll knock them down.
I'm going to be a hard act to follow, but.
Yeah, well, I'll come out and I'll talk about my boobs. So
perfect.
We're going to, yeah. Never had cancer, but I got boobs. So we'll figure it out. And it is October, so it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Dang, I should have had a joke about that.
Oh.
Next month. It'll be November. I can't do it.
It's all right. That's all right.
Yeah.
Sorry. In November, you can do jokes about prostate cancer because it's Movember.
Okay.
See, I'm aware.
To get prostate cancer.
If the,
right.
If it's a month that gets a bracelet, I'm aware of it. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
That's good. That's really anyway, good.
So let's talk to Ethan. Because you're up soon.
Way out, yeah.
Yeah, you're up soon.
You got to go soon.
Hi, Ethan.
Hi.
Ethan Andre, you have done the audience participation.
Yes, I have.
Portion, and that's all, right?
That is all, yes.
Okay.
But, yeah, for Naked Comedy, yes.
And I had the pleasure of actually being there for it.
Yes.
So this was a cool thing. When I hosted the show in June or July, we're trying to remember which, of this year, we had about, I somehow got it, the steam rolling on the audience part. We got like six people, right?
A lot, yeah.
That wanted to do it, and they were all, in some way, shape, or form, a lot of them were comics. So what we did was we removed it from the show a little bit. We gave everyone a minute, and I did like a mini open mic inside the Naked Show, and you were part of that. You had a minute. Are you a comic?
I'm an amateur comic.
So what's your experience?
I try to do open mics 1 to 2 times a week.
Okay. Oh, and a question. Actually, you can jump in and answer this. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask it, and I want to make sure we get it on there for good measure. Were you nervous to do it naked the first time? Like, what were you thinking? Like, you can answer first, and then Ethan. What were you thinking when I was like, hey, audience, did you know? Have you been to the Naked Show before?
My roommate went, and she told me about it. And I was like, I have to go up. So
you knew?
I knew.
So you were mentally prepared.
I was mentally prepared.
Did you know?
I knew there was... I had been talking to Matt before... Matt Kona, and he had said he had like encouraged me to come and like participate.
Yeah.
He didn't explain that like you have to derobe. So no, I wasn't expecting like, hey, you can come up and get naked.
But you were expecting
I knew there was a component, so and I was thinking like, okay, well I would want to do this. And then like the opportunity presented itself.
God damn you.
I know, right? It's came up with that night that I came after the show.
The opportunity.
and yeah, it worked out. I didn't know. I had not decided on like the joke to say.
Yeah.
But
you had some shows under your belt. Open mics.
Oh yeah. I had like things in my pocket, right?
Yeah. When did you start?
I started my senior year of undergrad in Columbia, Missouri.
Wow. And how long ago was that?
2 years now, 2 full years.
Wow. So yeah, you've had some experience.
Yeah.
And that's good. And I remember you had a great set. So I gave everyone a minute, and instead of doing just one joke, people had gotten full stories out.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations. That was awesome. And then were you asked after that show to come on, or
I like submitted Matt like a video of one of my 5 minute spots before,
mm-hmm.
and Andy got back to me like 2 weeks or so afterwards, saying like he would like me to be on the October show.
That's cool. Cause yeah. Had somebody, cause I had ran that show sort of like on my own, sort of, you know, like, cause it was like just me. Everyone was out of town, Matt and Andy. Mm-hmm. So had somebody said like, hey, this is the guy, I probably would have been like, book him. Cause I remember like, I just want to say your set was good. The minute you did well with your time. So you're going to keep doing comedy after this. I mean,
So I think I've been trying to, cause I have a real job.
Yeah.
Too.
Bragger.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that. I hate it, but take that. No, I don't hate it. I really actually like my job,
But it's not funny. It's not funny to like your job.
I know that like I've had like moments and lapses of 3 month periods where I'll go up to open mics like once a month or so.
Yeah.
And just not have the motivation or just kind of like critique myself out of it to go home and watch like whatever.
Work can be tough too.
Gilmore Girls and eat ice cream, right? So like,
For me, it's Gossip Girl.
Right.
Same thing.
No, that's the next week.
Yeah. I dig it.
I'm trying to get some kind of consistency and making comedy part of my like schedule. So I actually have been having success in East Boston where there's less of a comedy scene and, I have a relationship with an owner. And so we're doing our second show.
Cool.
In 2 Sundays from now.
Oh, great.
So I think it's really cool.
Do you
want to
plug it?
As of right now, I'm trying to just show, he really has no idea how much talent the Boston area has. So I'm just kind of trying to pick people out and get like a set list of 10 people.
Do you want
to
plug the show?
What does that mean?
Plug means you want to tell people where it is and when it is?
Oh.
Plug it?
No, I don't want people to come. It's embarrassing. absolutely. So
go for it. Nick, do not edit this out when you listen.
In East Boston, right outside of the Maverick T-Stop on the Blue Line, there's a bar in the Maverick Marketplace building, 154 Maverick Street, and it's called East Boston Comedy. We are having our second show ever on October 15th from 8 to 9:30. You should come out. There's a lot of talent that I've like somehow convinced without like bribing them.
Yeah. Are you pulling guys from the main scene or are these new people?
Mostly open mic people, but I do want to initiate like a newbie like spot every single time. So it seems like right now it seems like it's going to be a once a month or maybe I want to have some consistent schedule with like third Sunday of every month or something along those lines.
Cool.
And every single show would have someone who's never done stand-up.
That's
so I have.
It's fun.
Yeah, I've done two of my like people that I know in my social circle.
Yeah.
I've convinced to come.
So one more time, give the date, time, and place one more time. October 15th.
All right, everyone.
Yep.
Get out your pens.
Yeah, or your phone
and notebooks. No, no. I don't trust technology.
Get out your abacus.
You're listening to this, but I still don't think you know how to use technology. No, so come to Maverick Marketplace on October 15th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Rob Green is going to do a set.
Oh, he's not a newbie.
Yeah. No, he's not. No. He's not one of the newbies. His first set ever,
Rob Green.
He's like, I don't know. Yeah. I just ran into him. No.
Seriously, go to that. Rob is a staple in Boston comedy.
Yeah, no, he's, if someone knows someone in the comedy scene, Rob also knows them.
It's cause
or it's Rob.
Because Rob Crean is the scene, baby.
He is. Yeah. There you go. Look at you. All right.
So are
I
you...
I wish I could rhyme. Matt Kona is also going to be there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. He's going to perform. I won't perform, which is also very appealing.
It's incentive.
Yeah. I will not perform. I'll say things.
Yeah.
And names.
You're going to host it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
But that's... I won't perform. So that's good.
Come on out. Right. I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't hurt you. So, are you single?
I recently just separated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you looking to meet someone tonight?
Are you trying to make match?
You know what? I'm just, it doesn't even have to be a woman. I don't know. I'm just trying to use the formula that you set up.
I see.
Since like we have so much confidence to my left, like I feel like I should, you know, like I should put some cologne on.
Yeah.
I should go to CVS and get some, buy some like.
Go to CVS.
Old Spice.
Get some Old Spice. Yeah. Yep.
And, also a Viagra.
Yeah. Oh, do you need that?
Well, I want to show on stage.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What could
my what's fiance at the end of the night is gonna be.
It's hard to
buying,
get a. It's hard
know?
To get a boner when you're nervous. So, or maybe not. Some people only get boners when they're nervous.
Right? No, I don't. No, I don't plan on buying Viagra.
Ah, damn it! You just ruined my whole night.
Now I'm thinking I should.
Yeah.
After your advice.
Well, you should watch her set because.
Yes.
You could be.
You should watch it.
You could be the fiance that she's been waiting for.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll come afterwards. Like, hey, I really, really liked your spot.
You know, until
I'm Ethan, by the way.
Yeah. Until you talked about your boobs, I didn't know.
I really saw some. Life partner potential, you know.
So some people are motivated by the spirit of it all, like Julie, and you are a comic. So this was a way for you to get into another venue too. So that must have been
absolutely. I've been trying to push, like I've been in the open mic scene, and I just think that I don't think I'm talented enough to like get spots like on a on a list, but like. I do think
this is a list.
I can I know, and you're
like on a napkin.
Like, this was I'm telling you that was a mistake. You can't erase it.
Oh, we're
it's in pen.
We are fucked.
Yeah,
now.
You're fucked.
Yeah, I can do this. Like I work for a corporation, and if we put a line through something, it's gone.
No, I just enjoy it. I think that comedy is a way to connect with people, especially someone who uses a chair like myself.
Yeah.
It's a way, like, cause no one wants to speak about it.
So that's interesting too. So, you can't see it and you don't use it for everything. You can get around a bit.
Right.
You are in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, so I was born with a disability called cerebral palsy. There's, mm-hmm. it's like a huge spectrum. A lot of people who have cerebral palsy have trouble speaking, have trouble using their arms or whatever, mm-hmm. Various limbs and various size of their body. I am affected on, like, below, on my, with my two legs, just based on, like, the way I explain it.
Yeah.
Is, like, it's a brain muscle communication issue, right?
Yeah.
So, like, my brain only speaks to my legs in English, but my legs only understand Spanish, right?
Yeah.
So, like, not everything goes through.
In my corporate life, I have clients with cerebral palsy, so I do have some understanding. But yeah, this is great. So, but I saw when you did the show, I mean, I just saw, like, you came right up and you had, I remember you had the jokes about, like, how people treat you like a woman, or was it treat you like...
Yeah, well, I like a cold open where I... So I had thought people were going to start laughing if I just go up and like am quiet and look around and like smile.
Yeah.
But people were
weirded
out a little
bit.
We
all thought that when we started.
Yeah.
It's not true. No. People are like,
yeah.
What's
going on? Which I kind of like. So,
this guy freaking out. I'm freaking out.
Yeah. I explained that I sometimes feel like a lady.
Yeah. People hold doors. Yeah. I remember some of that.
Dudes always hold doors. They always offer to carry my bags and buy me jewelry and stuff.
It was a great parallel. I remember really enjoying your set.
Thank you.
It's true because like you came up and everyone was like, I remember I made a joke about you.
Well, you were on chair too. I don't think you saw my chair.
Right.
I was in the audience on
because I don't see the chair,
you
folks.
See it. Yeah.
All right, so you're like anybody else.
You're
I busted your balls.
Yeah. No, you were like, are you drunk?
Yeah, because of the way you walked.
Like, and you were saying that right as I was like...
Wow.
Like
that's
falling into my chair. And I was like, oh boy.
And then I was...
Oh boy.
And then I immediately was like, no, I'm a dick. I remember. And
yeah,
it
you're
got
like,
a
oh.
Good...
It was like, oh. Like it was a very reactive
Because we embraced it. It got a great thing. But I noticed too, like when you came up... I busted your balls, treated you like everyone else. But it was true before you even did your set. People were like moving and like trying, and you had it. Like you had it. You were getting up. You were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had done that bit before.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, not just the bit, but you had it. Like you could get backstage. You.
Oh yeah.
You could move around.
I mean, like a lot of it is just based on, I've done, like, I've been in the building a lot. So.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm constantly thinking about, like, oh, I know how I can do things.
Yeah.
So constantly thinking about, oh, if I had to do this, this is how I would.
Plus, it was interesting to see after, because I didn't know your bit before you did it, but then I started putting the pieces together. Like, it was happening right before you went up. People were moving and trying to help you, and you're like, fucking, I got it. I fucking know what I'm doing. And it was great. So, it's
great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you talk really about your life, and I could say, and even I was like, what are you, drunk? And, you know, so it was just like really funny that it translates to your set.
Well, I should tell the listeners that the chair is just a prop.
And I am drunk as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am, like, I have to like just get blacked out every single time before.
Yeah.
And I just sell it.
I just tell people I have cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds really complicated.
I have this rare disease called Jack Daniels. That's right.
Jack Daniels semia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you've been doing comedy for 2 years. Started in your senior year of your undergrad.
Yes.
So you've, yeah. And then do you live in Boston? So you went to college and you said, where'd you say?
In Missouri. Missouri. Columbia, Missouri, smack dab in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
When I moved to Boston, in August of last year, I moved to East Boston. And then again in August, I moved from East Boston to Roxbury.
Right on. So now you're here. So you moved from college here. Where are you from?
Newton.
Newton. So you're from the Boston area, Massachusetts.
Yes, yes.
Great. So did you always kind of like have a sense like, oh, I come from a comedy place. I think I'm going to incorporate. Well,
Louis C.K. Yeah, no, I. Of
well,
course,
like you come from a comedy place, Boston.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah,
city.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought you were just giving props to Newton, which should.
Props to Newton.
Yeah.
You're gonna. So Julie's leaving us to go suck a dick. What is that motion?
I'm going to get a drink.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being an asshole.
That's what she was saying.
She was going like the audience can't see it, but she was like, "I'm gonna go." No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah,
but. Enjoy,
yeah,
enjoy.
I definitely need a drink.
Enjoy your drink. Enjoy your set. Come back after your set. And
okay.
We will talk. All right. Bye, Julie.
Bye, Julie.
Do you want to jump in?
You think I have a chance?
I think so. A couple more drinks. She'll be like, what are you, drunk? So did you have a sense that, like, you know, I come from a comedy place? Maybe in later in my life, or did you ever think about doing comedy before?
I always liked making people laugh for sure. I don't want to say like I was a class clown because I like cared about school too much, but I would pick my moments to like make people laugh.
Yeah.
And I would like, my jokes would land like they do now, like 15% of the time. So. It never like registered as like a serious like kind of thing when I was young in this area. Right?
Yeah.
But when I went to school, there was an open mic thing, and I was like, "Whoa, this is so rare! Like open mics must be so rare! Like I gotta take advantage of this opportunity." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then you came to Boston, land of mediocrity, where there's an open mic every 5 feet.
So, yeah, that like definitely Missouri opened my eyes towards that. Just like that's when the serious like. The like year of like mustering up some confidence of like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Nah, well, no, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then, you know, I made a deal with my friend where if he would do it, I would do it. And then once you get your first laugh, it's really kind of addicting and like really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, from there on, it seemed to be a pretty like, it's an enjoyable thing that I always looked towards being.
Yeah, and then so when
better at,
and then when you came back to Boston, you had more opportunity to hone it.
Yes, I found out.
Yeah, you were like, they're not so rare.
Yeah,
yeah. Open mics. There hasn't been an open mic here in 20 years.
um, Doesn't he sound gorgeous? You can't hear this, but you're jacked.
You can. Get close, and then you're on.
Sorry. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us, Brian Gordon.
You're a good-looking dude.
Thanks.
Justin P. Drew.
You must work out.
Hey, everybody.
Did Julia say anything on her way out?
9/11 was an inside job.
About what?
Me. You said, did she, like, convince you, and then, is that her telling me through you, or
no
just
way.
You telling
me? No, it's just me.
That's really
it's
nice.
Just like
that's
a
flattering.
Simulation.
Yeah, no, Julie, just last thing I heard her say
they were
was
holograms.
Ah.
Yeah.
Got it.
So anyway, somebody, joining us.
Somebody perched on, like, the outside of New York City with, like, a giant hologram.
Are you talking about 9/11 right now, Justin? Are you just like, okay. So, so welcome to the podcast, Justin P. Drew.
And I think I might have to go, I want to, like, jot down some things. Like,
yeah, so, yeah, why don't you go? You're going to be up soon.
Pretty
soon. So I would go.
Yeah, you're going to want to be over there and get naked.
Come back after your set, and we'll talk about your experience.
Do I need these?
Yeah, you can use them, yep. So we're going to welcome on Brian Gordon.
Woo!
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good. And Justin P. Drew, you heard talk about 9/11.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so welcome, guys. So
hey,
Justin,
how's it going?
Justin, you've done The Naked Show.
A bunch.
Numerous times.
Yes.
But not the podcast.
Never the podcast.
I wonder why. The first thing you talked about was 9/11. So
yeah,
I mean,
just, you know, I think they're just afraid of the truth.
Yeah.
Just, you know, at the government, they're like, don't let this guy do the Naked Comics podcast.
Cigarette ads and 9/11. People are just afraid of the truth.
He's going to just bust this whole thing wide open on that Naked Comedy Show podcast. Just right off the bat, man. We got to keep
Jet fuel does not melt steel beams.
Oh, man.
Welcome also, Brian Gordon. Brian, so I want to talk to me. I want to talk to both of you,
are you pro or anti 9/11?
What do you mean pro? Meaning like the Holocaust, it didn't happen?
Are you just implying that the Holocaust didn't happen? Because I find that
No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't know what you mean by am I pro or against 9/11. You mean like doing
Brian
jokes
Gordon.
About it?
I mean,
oh, here we go.
Are you in favor of it or not?
I'm losing control of my podcast. I am losing.
I honestly have no idea what the context is of what you are saying.
I want to set this up. A very giddy, overweight man in a Rugrats t-shirt.
In a Rugrats, more than Rugrats, we got Rocko's Modern Life, we got Ren and
Real
Stimpy,
Monsters.
We got Hey Arnold.
Yep. Everybody.
Yeah, man.
Also joining us, let's just get this out the way, Mr. James Motherfucking Creelman.
Yeah, what's poppin', fam? How we doing?
How you
at Radio Land?
How you doing at?
Good.
Good. Yeah. James Creelman has done The Naked Show lots of times.
Hell yeah, my tinkle-a-dangling.
But never the podcast, so we have two. And then also, let's talk to Brian. I got some stuff. Thank you.
Can I honestly, before you get into me, because I mean, I love this show. It's one of my favorite shows that I've ever done numerous times.
Hell yeah.
But what the hell are you talking about?
I just want to know, are you pro or anti 9/11? Your stance?
From a population control standpoint?
Yeah.
Dan
answered.
Did we deserve it? What are you talking about?
I'm anti 9/11, I'll put that out there.
You're anti 9/11? Okay, we got one anti 9/11. We got one pro 9/11. Brian, where do you stand on this 9/11 divide?
This is probably all going to get edited out.
You know,
why would you edit this out? This is the best part. I haven't seen the rest of it.
Don't ruin that banana.
Okay,
I need that.
Seriously, I think that if the terrorists were naked, 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, totally.
So,
do you agree with that?
I'm sorry, but the audience has no basis for what's going on, and then in the middle of it, you have Brian saying, don't ruin that banana.
Don't ruin.
John Baglio just Febreze the back of my head. So, okay.
You needed it.
I did. It smells back
there. You don't even know what you're talking about.
He came in and he's gaslighting everyone. That's what's going. All right. Okay.
Whoa.
All right.
So, just an update, guys. John Baglio just Febreze Dan Martin's crotch.
No, that was water.
That was water.
That was, I think. That was his urine.
That was urine.
Are you guys familiar with James Patterson, the comedian?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I saw his show during the comedy festival.
How was it?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's
very good.
Oh, I hadn't seen him in a long time. But one of the bits that he did... It was amazing the way that he covered 9/11. It was just brilliant. Yeah, and just
was he pro or
it's better than the news covered 9/11.
Oh shit!
Because it was not on any news station.
What?
I never heard anything about it.
It was all over the thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dan Martin grew up in an alternate universe where 9/11 never happened.
Yeah, I'm like the Flash.
Is that actually like?
I don't know.
Is that a plot line?
No, it's Crisis on Two Worlds, man.
Oh,
read a book.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
The Files. Thank you.
Yeah, the Files. Oh. Okay.
It's just a magician's folder. present to you with evidence, the Ace of Hearts. So let's get this show back somewhere. Brian, you've done The Naked Show, but not in like eight or nine years.
So I haven't done it in a long time.
Very long time. But you used to do it all the time. You did it when in its inception?
I did it before it became an actual Improv Boston show. I forget the name of this group that Andy belongs to. It's just a people...
Al-Qaeda.
Feel good group. It's Al-Qaeda, basically.
Al-Qaeda.
It's not spelled that way, but it's pronounced that way. And he used to bring us to a home in Newton.
Yeah.
In the basement where he would hold his Al-Qaeda meetings naked.
So he wanted me to talk in a rumpus room in Newton. That's what it says here. Yeah, so what was it like? Like, can we please? I love this. What was it like, though, doing naked comedy, you know, before it was...
I mean, it was, that's the thing.
Was it guerrilla or were these people like?
I have no idea. Well, I mean,
I know what was going to happen?
Oh yeah. I went in to watch Andy open the show and,
Austin McLeod just got off stage. Do you want to invite him over to the
table?
Yeah,
pop in. I don't know.
And he's Andy. He's still Andy. It's amazing. I mean, it's not that he's telling the same things. It's just, it's so clear that he should be doing this show. That's all. It's
just watch the table.
His job. Yeah. I've been through so many amazing experiences with that show, but when I did it, it was always packed.
Sorry, John Baglio is being amazingly distracting.
Yeah, no, I'm watching him make a...
Well, it was always packed.
Pretty dope.
So Austin
McLeod... He's making a pipe bomb
Austin
right now.
Austin McLeod just sat down, everybody. Austin, are you pro or anti 9/11? We're asking everybody.
Wow.
This tower is about to go down.
There's a tower here. Listen, you will decide the fate of this tower, Austin, with your vote. We got a pro... 9/11. James Crewman was very much anti 9/11. Brian
afraid to take a stance.
Brian is afraid to take a stance on 9/11. Yeah. Really, and it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah, I don't know
if we can trust Brian Gordon with this tower.
I just need context. I find it really hard to make a judgment without context.
I feel like you've gotten more than enough context.
Underneath.
No.
Austin, do you feel you've gotten enough context to make a decision right now?
Walking into a room and deciding my decision on 9/11?
Pro or anti?
Oh, yeah. So just to be clear on the rules, anti... No, pro, this thing's going down, right?
Pro, I mean, hey, listen... You know, you don't know until you make the decision.
Pro. It's pro.
You're pro 9/11. Austin McLeod is pro 9/11. Everybody on the record. In case everybody, if he ever runs for office.
This will be.
I want you to look at me right now. And I want, I'm not kidding. I want you
I'm
to look at me.
In your eyes.
If I end up on a freaking list. I'm gonna be so fucking angry.
So I know 9/11 was.
I work with kids.
Yeah.
No, this is behind a paywall. This is like Patreon.
Look,
they're not gonna get
I know 9/11. I know 9/11 was
listening to the naked.
I know it was a tragedy. I know it was a tragedy and everything, but the day it happened, I was homeless.
Listen, I want to watch the show. No, I don't mean any offense.
Whoa!
Oh!
No offense to this podcast, but what do you want to know?
Yeah.
Because I really want to enjoy the show.
Ryan, your apprehension caused that.
Can we please?
It's because I'm a Jew.
Finish his interview. I don't know. I wanted to talk to you about how it was. So you basically helped Andy get it going, right? Were you one of the first people to do it with him, or?
It was a fundraiser initially.
Wait, what's this?
It was.
Yes, for his wellness group. It was a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I did it, I went on first, so I missed everything. Because I had to go across town to do another show. That's why I went on first. But then the second time that I did it at this private home, which it was great. I mean, afterwards they had all this food and hot tubs and naked people. And it was pretty cool. Yeah. And but anyway, I got to go on last, so I got to see the whole thing, and then I don't know how it was that he learned that Cambridge has rules where, in fact, you can be naked, you just can't dance.
Right.
But I don't remember how he figured that out, but if anybody would, it would be Andy, because he loves being naked. So.
Right.
But it was, it always sucked. When he first did it, it was at the old improv in Inman. And, but what I've learned about, Andy, and any place that he runs that show is that the green room is always really, really cold. So any male that's on the show is going to end up having a shriveled dick like his.
Yeah, you're going to get what I call scaredy cock.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
That's the entire reason
I call it the blue room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason why Justin P. Drew has a small dick.
The only reason
is because he has scaredy cock.
Naked Joe.
Yeah.
Everywhere else.
So right now we're on Facebook
Live.
Like
I'm smuggling rope.
We're on Facebook Live. We're on Facebook Live.
Oh, you didn't just.
And John.
You're going to put me on with
and
that?
John, well, John Baglio, right now it's facing me, and John Baglio is stacking cups on my head as I talk. I'm trying really hard to.
Ryan Gordon is not sure whether or not he likes 9/11.
Yeah.
He says there's just so much.
Folks, we need to know who's pro 9/11, who's anti 9/11. These are the questions.
All I'm going to tell you
these
is that when I did the show, I would say probably within, I never went out on stage naked.
Right.
And, but I always ended up taking off my clothes. But by the time I was done, people were essentially, a lot of them got the feeling that Andy wanted. I hear Andy talking about it now, where Andy's like, you gotta love your bodies. He's all about like, come on, everybody. It's like, it's a shell and it's okay.
Yeah, it's a very body positive show.
Exactly. And so I wanted to give people a context, to use that word again, for what they were looking at versus, okay, here's a naked guy. We don't know anything about him yet, so we're just going to focus on the fact that he's naked. I don't care about being naked and telling jokes. I cared more about, like, all right, how am I going to make this something?
How can this be a movement, a thing?
A thing, yeah. What can I do with this space, this time? And so by...
Well, just to let you know, Kevin Krasko, a friend of mine who's works at a comedy club down in Florida, he's 9/11 and different.
That's better than apathetic.
Yeah, and Drew McGuire says it's a horrible time. He prefers noon to 3.
I don't think I have a sense of humor.
He also says, dude, you got a flat head. So
I'm hoping what used to happen, though, when I performed would happen tonight, and that is people used to get up and strip with me. It was awesome.
What do you – so I have that on my sheet that I can't look down at. So you – because of the cups – You had a woman strip next to you and ask you on a date? Is that accurate? What happened there?
No, I would not go out on a date with her unless she stripped.
Oh, that's what Matt Kona didn't communicate.
I met her at a party.
Are you married now?
What?
I'm married now, yeah.
Wait. To her?
No.
So it didn't work out.
Was she like stripping inclined or?
No, not
at all. Stripping on an incline.
No, but she
was very Caligula.
She lacked a certain sense of ethics.
So
we met
You want? I'll tell you. To remove her clothing.
Just you. If you want to hear the story,
we do.
I feel like yes. This is Howard Stern.
You want to learn how to get women to take their clothes off? Then I'll keep talking.
Yeah.
All right.
First, sorry. Yeah, my wife changed. Wife changed the Netflix password because there were too many people on the server. Sorry, Kevin. I don't know if she's going to let you have it again. Sorry. Back to
it's cool. Let's you know, back I mean, to 9/11.
First,
go ahead, seriously.
Brian
who
is,
fucking cares that I
want to
talk
to
about
stance on
the
9/11.
Naked comedy show on the
and
naked
now
comedy
he's forcing women to
podcast.
Take their clothes off for money. I don't know about this Brian
this
Gordon
is the
character,
best
guys.
Night that I've had in my life. So, and I don't know what's going on. I'm getting
I hope
crib.
That's such a lie. And I know it is.
Yeah. So, all right.
Dan,
so
keep your head still.
Yeah, Dan.
I was at a party. I think there were other comedians there, and I met a girl. And there was chemistry, which is kind of a cool thing for me because I'm not one of those people that knows when somebody's interested in me unless I know. And it's seldom. So if I do think that there's chemistry, then there's probably like 100 times more chemistry than I even know exists at that moment.
Because you're a little awkward with that.
And there was a ton of chemistry involved in 9/11.
Six cups, never forget.
It was jet fuel.
Six cups, never
a
forget.
A lot of
it was
chain
a jet
reactions.
It was a love that could melt steel beams. It was a love. Why is this the center? Why? What are you going to do with that banana?
Isn't that the producer's mic? How did you get headphones?
Listen, what are you going to do with that banana?
You just want to derail everything. Like, you have to have the floor all the time.
Get him, Brian.
Yeah, no, I'm
dude,
serious. You do not.
I'm a problem.
You have to get in the fucking middle of everything.
I'm a bad little boy. I need to be spanked, Brian.
All right, Justin, shut the
naughty.
Fuck up. Just give me a minute. What are you going to do with the banana?
Well, clearly you don't want to know how to get people naked.
Yeah. I mean,
you'd rather ram a plane into a building than learn how to.
Whoa. I never said my stance on 9/11.
Kylie, there are some snacks in my,
All right, I'm gonna go watch the show though, seriously.
Okay. Brian, thank you. I'm sorry for Justin.
No, it's cool.
I love you, Brian.
What's happening now?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay.
What's happening now?
If you thought 9/11 was a travesty, welcome to this podcast. Yeah, Kylie, come on.
Welcome to Kylie Alexander.
If you see James Creelman, Brian, tell him I'm ready for him.
Kylie, are you, I need to ask you, are you pro?
The seat's warm. Oh, I hate that.
Oh.
Sit in that Austin seat. He has a cold butt.
All right.
Oh, God.
Are you pro or anti 9/11, Kylie?
How long do I have to think about it?
Good answer.
You're not filming me, are you?
No, still on
selfie
me.
Selfie mode.
Okay. You want me to film you?
No, I don't like.
I don't like my face.
I don't mind. Especially when I add these.
I don't mind 160 people seeing me naked, but it's my face that I'm not.
I can't hear anything on these. Are they just for show?
They're probably not working. There's some tape on those.
Dre.
Is that how many people were there? No.
In the room?
Huh?
How many people?
I think
in that
it's 100. Is it 160?
I don't know.
Oh my God! Really?
It's a lot of people. Kevin. I know. I'm gonna write it.
I'm just
give up your goddamn Netflix.
I'm just out here trying to get to the. I'm just out here trying to get to the bottom of 9/11.
My Netflix password is 9/11 was an inside job.
It's iHeart9/11.
Because you need a symbol.
You need a special character.
Instead of iHeart New York.
Yeah. iHeart911.
i3.
9/11.
9/11.
If anyone gives you any shit, you could say it's 911, the emergency contact number.
That's right, and 911 is a joke in your town.
You know what? You actually really don't. You have the opposite of a flathead, so this is pretty. I don't know if it's more impressive for you or for John.
Definitely well, John. I grew up as a young princess.
What?
I was a debutante, so I often balanced
you
books.
You had to do those little exercises.
I had to talk like this and balance pretty books upon my head.
You were Mary Poppins.
I was Mary Poppins. I have an umbrella.
He was Mary Poppins, y'all.
You say it like Poopins, but...
I'm Mary Poopins.
That sounds like a bit.
Oh!
how many cups is too many cups?
We should just make it a much bigger deal than it is when they fall.
5 minutes till I go?
So there's one on now, one other, and then...
And then me? All right, thank you. I can't leave yet.
Are you closing?
Where's Nick?
The other guy that was here?
The producer, yeah.
I don't know.
Because someone's going to have to run this...
I will run this podcast. I will take over this podcast.
I will 9/11.
Welcome to Dissecting 9/11.
So, yeah, because it's like you're going to hijack it.
So the real thing that's going on here, and Justin and I haven't announced our Broadway musical 9/11 that we've written, produced, and we will be performing. He plays the left tower.
Oh, shit. It's a love story.
Yeah.
I cannot live if you're down.
And I'm like, I just can't quit you. And then a plane.
What if it was like a really stripped down like production where it's like you guys are just in black turtlenecks with like okay. a black background and one of you is like the South Tower and one of you is the other one.
So Kylie's getting all weird with this. Kylie, you know, Wes Anderson directed?
I think Kylie's really making like a pretty good play to be our executive producer.
I think
honestly,
so. She's gonna Andrew Lloyd Webber the shit out of this.
Yeah. David's here, guys. Nick
Taking
David owes
over.
Me dinner.
Do owe you dinner.
Well, now really? especially.
Yeah. I wish I had known you were here.
That's perfect.
Wait, Justin. Justin. Justin, you already
cheap dinner.
You already ate.
I already ate.
And you're not hungry?
I'm not
Where
hungry.
Are those
this is
snacks?
Bullshit.
Yeah,
I've got crepes. I've got some.
There should be like a catchphrase every time it falls. Like
I've got.
I like,
Zarr,
I like what's the crepe.
Kylie, I've got some sliced.
Guys,
green and red peppers.
Nick David is here, everybody.
And some fruit.
Those wreak havoc on my asshole. Otherwise, I would say.
Oh, I'll wreak
so
havoc
much.
On your asshole. I'm sorry.
Also, speaking of Kylie.
I'm going to 9/11 that asshole.
Speaking of assholes, Nick David
asshole.
Is here.
Nick David, are you pro or anti 9/11?
Here we go. Here it is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What kind of question is that?
No.
I just got here. First of all, there's fucking table tennis going on and a cup stack.
Second of all,
I don't know what the fuck this
I'm
this
sorry,
podcast
I need to acknowledge
into.
My fan base. Kevin says black turtlenecks means sophisticated.
Well, that's
Ooh.
What I was going
that's
for.
That's what we're
I'm going
for.
Steve Jobs, he was
I'm
sophisticated.
I'm going for a pared down.
He said 311 was an inside job.
311.
That's
Do you
actually...
think 9/11 hit them especially hard?
It's so close to them.
It was really close to home. It was only like six. Numbers away.
Also, 311, they play
away.
A lot of outdoor festivals, so that statement is not right.
They're like, it could have been us.
Oh, God. Yeah. I gotta go.
Nope,
raise up my arm.
Okay.
Is this gonna be the...
And repeat, raise up your arm and repeat after me.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa!
So, John Baglio just hit Dan Martin full force in the back.
Right in the
9/11. With a clipboard.
One more.
He just goes around the table and I'm next. Everyone's just like, it's not cool anymore, you need to stop.
Oh, God.
How hard is too hard?
Oh,
that last time was pretty hard, so. A little more.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Are you trying to break this thing?
Baglio, no!
Jesus! Oh, God. This is my 9/11.
Oh, that was such a good flinch.
Oh. Just do it!
Oh my God, these flinches are way better than getting hit.
The flinches suck.
This is
flinches.
The worst part.
I pooped a little. It was really, it hurt the first.
Oh! Jesus fucking Christ.
Fuck.
What in the fuck
okay?
has happened to this show?
I
go see two comics. I leave for 15 minutes, I go see two comics, and this podcast has devolved into
John,
a fucking...
John, did you like do peyote?
I got...
So,
did you do this?
Started talking about 9/11.
So I have
did
to you? Leave.
I just immediately, my first... I really freaked out that Brian Gordon dude.
You should show them
no,
your
you
wealth.
Did. So I just...
he was not comfortable with...
Dan Martin.
Yeah, that's my boy. I love you, John Baglio.
It's pretty great.
Hang on,
oh
hold
God.
That picture. Let me get a snap of that. That's lovely.
Aw, abuse.
I wouldn't know love any other way. Ooh.
Oh, my phone
hot.
Just fucking
I think you gotta
farted.
Go get ready.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna walk
I'm right
you guys,
after you, so.
You guys are gonna walk with me on Facebook Live. to the Naked Show.
I am, okay.
We need somebody.
Wait a second. Are you putting your set on Facebook Live?
Exactly. Are you taking care of the podcast? Okay.
Well, maybe I could just
I'm right after Dan, and I want to see his dick, so I'm going
to
go.
All right. So I'm going to leave, too, because I'm going to – this is becoming a regular segment where John Baglio just sits in here for an hour and talks to himself.
All right.
So John, you are now Dan Martin until I get back.
Don't joke about Linkin Park, man. Muff top, best part of the muffin. Blah.
You sound just like Dan Martin.
He sounds just like me. I'm going to go do some of that
now. All right. Welcome to that special moment of the Naked Show podcast where it is the best boy in the world, John Baglio, left alone to his own device. Oh, no, Nick David is sticking around.
I lied.
Nick
I'm still
is here. Hey, Nick.
Hi, John Baglio.
How are you, sir? I'm great.
I'm wonderful.
Good.
So I really enjoyed editing the last show because I got apologized to at least three or four times.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even here.
I know.
So, and it was like it took me like a month and a half to edit the show. So it was like a month and a half span. And then I got three or four apologies. It was wonderful. I felt
Well, what happened was it was me.
It
was me, Valley D.
Right.
And Kona.
Right.
And then Kona was like, oh, I gotta leave for my set. And then it was just me and Valley. And then Valley was like, well, I'm gonna go watch the rest of the show. And then it was just me, and I started talking, and then I was like, I'm gonna do an experiment to see how long I can talk until someone comes back. And it went for a while. I went through everything in my brain.
I think I left pretty much all of it there.
You did. I cut out my cell phone number, which was good because.
Yes. I did a fun little snippet on your cell phone number, and that was I have a fun little trick that I pulled on your cell phone number, and it was fun.
It was fun. Also, I'm responsible for those of you listening. There is a mess on the table. While they were all talking, while Justin, Dan, Austin, and Brian were all talking, I just went around the room and I just started putting random objects on the table. I found like a mini ping pong set. There's tape. There's a lot of paper, there's coffee, there's sugars, there's markers.
It was real fucking weird when I walked in here.
I was like,
I left for 15 minutes and this place fucking got set on fire.
It's a disaster, yeah.
It's like a 4-year-old came in here with a fucking full diaper and just went to town.
That is my personality. So, 4-year-old full diaper.
You should put that on your business card.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Do you like 4-year-olds with a full diaper? Well, come see John Baglio live at the Sinclair.
I currently have in my bio, it ends with his goal is to make it into a Denny's commercial. Denny's, America's Diner, is always open. So that is, I have a little bit of fun in my bio, but maybe toddler. 4-year-old with a full diaper might have to go in there.
4-year-old's way too old to have a diaper. That's the best part of that.
That's the best part of it. Yeah. And he's just like, who's gonna do this?
He just filled it up. Like, it's not like one or two, it's like full.
It's like the front gets it too.
It's hanging down past his knees.
Ooh.
And he just came in and fucking wreaks havoc.
I know the exact point of where everyone is going to stop listening to this podcast. And it was just 20 seconds ago.
Glad I could be a part of that.
You're the part of it.
So what's cooking?
Not a whole lot. Just got back. I've done some cool comedy stuff in the past, like, month or so. Got to do the Boston Comedy Festival, which was fun.
Nice.
Made it to the semifinals. Woo woo. That was fun. I got to go to Nashville. And that was great. Have you ever been to Nashville?
I only in their airport.
Ooh, and that is, I mean, that's
only
a
been
fun
in
airport.
Their airport, but I've been to Memphis several times.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like they're fairly similar. The cities, but I know not too far away, 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, they're both, you know, musically oriented cities.
Exactly.
One's just more country oriented and the other is more blues oriented.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Fun town.
Yeah. So what did you do? Were you doing shows there?
I didn't get to do any shows there. Just went for a weekend with my girlfriend. First big, like, hey, let's go travel and do something cool together kind of thing.
Dig it. What did you do while you were there?
Ooh.
Did you catch any shows?
Well, there's a lot of live music. There's only real one comedy venue there, and it was just like Margaret Cho is headlining, and it's just like, okay, we could go see Margaret Cho wherever, but where else are you going to see like authentic Nashville music? So they have like an entire street. Imagine if, like Tremont Street, or even, yeah, let's see, Tremont or Boylston. Imagine if that street you was just bars with live music.
And what's
every
the name of
bar.
That street?
Broadway. In Nashville. You could just walk down. There's like three blocks where it's just all bars, all music. And you can just walk in, no cover. You can just walk in, walk outside. But it's fucking packed there. It's like Times Square. It's like Times Square and the smoking section of a casino.
That's when you can drink outside, so everybody's walking around with drinks.
You can't drink outside Nashville, unfortunately.
See, in Memphis you can. Yeah, in Memphis, if you go down to the music section, which I, for some reason, I can't remember the name of the street, even though I've been there several times and played on that damn street.
Yeah.
I can't remember the damn name of it. But you can walk around. The people are walking around with those, you know, those giant goofy-looking cups with the funnel looking at the top and then the bulb at the bottom.
Yep.
Yeah, they have those big plastic cups that are full of a mixed drink, and they're just...
It baffles me, going to other parts of the country, being from here... And you go to, like, the Midwest, and it's just like, you can get all the alcohol you want at a CVS. That blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking in public blows my mind. Vegas is insane.
Right.
Vegas, you can
thing.
Walk around with
right.
it. Vegas has 24-hour bars.
Yep. You
That's,
just never stop drinking if you don't want
it's
to.
It's crazy.
You can just drink yourself to death right in front of someone.
Yeah. And then you can drink until 6 in the morning, and some other bartender is going to come in. And it's crazy. You can drink in a car there.
Really? Oh,
you
I didn't
can
know
have,
that.
You can have, like, if you bring, like, or maybe you can't. Maybe this guy was just lying.
I'm sure you can't do it while you're driving.
You can't be driving, but if you're the passenger, I guess you can.
Maybe it's just like a stupid ticket or something, just like
maybe.
Jaywalking.
Yeah.
And they just, they blow it off. They only enforce it if they're being a dick.
Yeah. I mean, if you pull someone over, how can you tell it's not the driver who just handed it to someone in the passenger seat?
I don't know.
That, I mean, it's crazy.
Breathalyzer, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know. Have you spent much time in Vegas?
I was there for a week doing a comedy festival.
Really? What was that like?
The World Series of Comedy. It was fun.
And Jim has something to do with that too, doesn't he?
No, he's not affiliated with it.
Okay.
But I know they do, preliminary contests all throughout the country at different venues. And so Laugh Boston is a venue that they've done it at, the Rhode Island Comedy Connection. So there's a little local feel to it, but.
Okay.
It's fun. It's at this casino off the strip and.
Called?
Can't remember. Something like.
I think Bourbon Street was a street in Memphis.
Are you thinking of New Orleans?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's the only reason I didn't say it, because I think I was thinking of New Orleans, and then I kind of decided that I was going to say it anyways, even though I know that Bourbon Street is in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I don't know. Memphis.
Yeah.
I can even tell you the names of the places that I played there. I played the New Daisy Theater, and I played at Mr. Handy's, and I played at the Rum Boogie. And I played at one other place. I can't think of the name of it.
Let's see. We have these things in our pockets called phones now. So we are looking up the Rum Boogie, which is maybe my favorite name of a venue I've ever seen. Beale Street?
Beale Street.
Beale
Jesus
Street.
Christ.
Anyone listening in Memphis, if you're on Beale Street right now, raise your glass.
I don't know why I couldn't remember that. Beale Street.
That's a really, like... anticlimactic name for a street where all the fun is.
Bam.
That'd be like, oh yeah, Bam. Oh yeah, you want to go, all the strip clubs are on Maple Street. Like that's just, right. That's weird. It's like every city has a Beale Street, but not like every city has like a Broadway or a Bourbon Street or a Las Vegas Boulevard or Rodeo Drive. Hmm. It's just,
I've been on some of those.
Just Beale Street. Bam.
But it's like, so it's like there's like a three block section of Beale. Beale goes for, you know, I don't know, miles.
It sounds like exactly like the Broadway.
There's like a three-block section of Beale Street that they section off. No, you can't drive down it.
Okay.
So they put up, like, barricades at night, and you can just walk around shit-hammered.
There you go.
Drinking your little funnel knob drink. Okay.
It has a very St. Catharines feel to it, kind of. That's another good street name.
In Montreal.
Yep.
Can you drink outside in St. Catharines Street? I don't know.
I have no idea. Didn't try.
I haven't been there in a long, long time. The last time I went there, I went to the casino.
That is a fun casino. I've been there. Huh. It's like the casino is like shaped like a Super Bowl ring, and it's just like it's very compact, and it's like seven floors, a lot of stairs.
Casino de Montreux.
Yeah. Hmm. I get emails from them.
Do you?
Yeah, it's like privileges de casino. And it's just like I get reward points.
They don't know you're American.
Yeah. I mean, I just signed up for, I think it was when you got there, if you sign up for their rewards program, you get like $15 Canadian to play in like the slots machines or something like that. A lot of casinos have benefits like that.
That seems like a reasonable thing to drive up there for.
Yeah, but I didn't go strictly for the casino.
Like $120 in gas, $15 in free slots.
There you go. Come on up.
Let's go.
If you're 18, go to Montreal for the $15 you can gamble, and then you can buy all the beer you want with your winnings.
You're getting a 9.5% rebate.
Yeah. Bring it back over with you.
That's it.
You and your buddies.
Come
have
on.
Have a rager.
This is our pitch.
This is our pitch. They tried to do this, actually, in the U.S. They tried to change in, like, I think Missouri tried to lower their state's drinking age to get tourism. Missouri tried to change. They tried, like, this is
that
like.
That is fucking duplicitous and brilliant all at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it was like 4 or 8 years ago. It was one of, like, the last major elections where they tried to. They were just like, yeah, let's just make it 18. People will come here. Look at Canada.
I have a really vague recollection of that.
Because who else is going to Missouri?
Right.
Unless you're
exactly.
Like.
Every fucking 18-year-old from 100 miles away
right.
Would be going to Missouri.
I would, if I was going for like, I don't know, any college kid was like spring break, where are we going to go? Cancun? No, let's go to fucking
Missouri.
Let's go to Kansas City.
That's it.
Yeah. Go watch the Royals play. I think
Kansas
that's.
City's, I bet that's a fun town. I've never really spent any time there, but I imagine Kansas City's probably.
I bet
probably got some fun stuff to do in it.
They have their barbecue must be really good from what I've heard.
I mean, there's a lot of good blues there.
Yeah,
I'm a blues guy, so you know, I know there's a lot of good blues there. They had a club there for a long time, owned by this guy Roger Neighbors, who's the guy that puts on the legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise. It was a famous club, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But that was in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
And that was one of those places that every major blues act. That was traveling the country would all go to this place.
Yeah.
And it's in the same file as Beale Street was in. So as soon as I think of it, yeah.
Oh.
That's not.
What's calling?
That's not distracting at all.
No. But like it's just Missouri. There's nothing there. Here's the thing. Here's what's weird about Missouri. St. Louis in 1904, I want to say, hosted like the second Olympics and the first World's Fair. Like, it was like a huge city, and now I just feel like there's an arch.
Yeah, you got the arch.
You got Budweiser. And
baseball. How do you know that? How do you know that about Kansas City?
It was St. Louis. I don't know shit about Kansas City.
Oh, St. Louis, right.
I know,
Louis. Yeah,
I know
that's
some
what I meant.
Stuff about St. Louis. I know people who've gone there. You can take, for the arch, you could take like the slowest elevator in the world from one side to the other. You can take a tram up there.
And how long did that take, do you know?
Probably like 30 minutes, I would say.
That seems like an unreasonable amount of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I would want that ride to be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, cool, seen all that shit done. After like 20 minutes, I'd be like, all right, this old lady smells bad.
Yeah.
And I'm hungry.
And this is not
a good combination of things.
And you can't see out the sides either until like you get to the top. So it's just like
really?
In the dark.
Just dark.
You can dark and you can feel yourself moving. And then when you get to the top, and then it's like, oh, okay, there's a river, there's a city, and then you're just back in the darkness.
So did you go on this?
No, I've never been to St. Louis. I'm just.
How do you
I just don't
but
want.
You know way
people,
too much shit about St. Louis.
I don't want people to go to St. Louis. Just. I mean,
brought to you by the council, the Travel Council of Montreal.
Yeah, this is like I apologize to Nelly and fans of the St. Louis Rams. RIP. It's just there's nothing appealing about your state.
Were they?
Yeah, where are they Rams now?
The Rams are in L.A., and no one wants pro football in L.A. L.A. has two football teams now, the Rams and the Chargers. The Rams play at the L.A. Coliseum, which is a huge 90,000-seat stadium. USC Trojans play there. The Olympics were there. It's big. They fill that. No problem. The Chargers play in Carson, California. No idea how close that is to L.A. I feel like that's more Anaheim. They play at a soccer stadium that holds 30,000 people. And they only get people who go to the games who are, like, from opposing cities. So, like, if you go for every 30 people at that stadium, like, 26 will be from Philadelphia, and 4 would be people who just got free tickets or something like that.
Nobody wants to see the Chargers play.
No one wanted the Chargers there.
Huh.
The only people who want the Chargers is San Diego. I apologize to your city. You've lost every sports team for the most part except the Padres, which is probably the one team you can do without. They had the Clippers were in San Diego first.
Really?
And then that racist guy bought the team, brought them to L.A. And then they were like,
I don't know anything about this because
I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, is this the guy that had the cassette tapes of his lover that she kept recording
saying,
him?
Yeah.
She was like some 20-year-old bimbat.
I wouldn't say necessarily a bimbat, but it was just, he's like this guy in his
he's like
60s, 70s. He's old and he's racist. And she was like young and African-American, and she recorded him saying things about black people that were not flattering. Especially to Magic Johnson.
He was concerned that she not talk to, she didn't want her to talk to any black men.
Yeah, she didn't want black men to come to the games. And,
right, he didn't want her sitting with any black men
right,
at the
exactly.
games. Yeah.
He didn't like going to her Instagram and just seeing all her photos of the game with her and a bunch of African Americans.
Yeah,
he did not like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying so hard to be politically correct right now, just because I know it's a tough topic in America today.
Didn't his family try to like take all his? They tried to like get a power of attorney over him because they said
yes.
he was crazy.
Well, she got the power of attorney, his ex-wife, and what she did was she sold the team without his knowledge, just up and sold the team, and he was like, "I don't want to sell the team." She sold the team for $2 million. I forget the name of the guy who bought it.
$2 billion. Oh.
So he
like,
got,
what the fuck?
He got $1 billion for being caught being racist. That's what happened. He bought the team for like $15 million too in like the 70s or 80s.
Well, see,
so
folks,
he made,
racism pays.
It pays. It pays dividends.
It pays billions.
Yep.
Or billion. I think when you get to a billion, I don't think it matters after that. When you can leave at any point during the day and get on any flight that you want and go to anywhere in the world, I think that's when it all ends, where you're just like, I'm going to go to Paris tonight for dinner, and then I'm going to go to Sydney for breakfast, and I'm going to hop on a boat.
Yeah. Once you make a billion, yeah. But if you're at like 990 million, get the fuck out, dude.
Yeah, those
back in the bread line.
Yeah, those people are bumming out. All right, hey, listen, Ethan Andre just came back and he made his full set debut here on the Naked Comedy Showcase, and it went very swimmingly. How did you feel about it, Ethan?
What's your source there on that one?
On how the set went?
And swimmingly?
Yeah, I thought it was a great set.
He was in the crowd.
Yeah, I saw your set.
Oh, it's your, I'm so sorry. Well, respect your opinion. I think it's a phenomenal opinion.
I have no idea how you did, so please elaborate, everybody. I want to hear the audience point of view, the comedian point of view, and then I will make a decision on whether or not you did good or not for the audience.
That's fair. Well, Your Honor,
Ooh, everyone's going to have to call me that now. I'm bringing that into dirty talk now.
People have to introduce you now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, John Your Honor, Baglio.
How about the Honorable John Baglio?
The Honorable John Baglio. That's it.
Everyone perfect. Rise. Everyone rise for.
No, no,
no.
Okay.
I have been here as an audience member, and it's a blast. It's a really great show. One of the best shows in Boston, in my opinion, from all the shows that I've been to. It's just like people are. Like when some don't know what they're coming into, which is also great, but those that are like have something to tell because people are just so sure that you're joking when the Naked Comedy Show, you say it exists.
Oh, when you say you're, you're doing the Naked Comedy Show,
they're
like, oh,
wait,
sure.
Are you serious? Every single time, 100%. Or just like, yeah, you know, there is a Naked Comedy Show in Boston.
So
100%. It's like, wait, are you? Is this one of your killer jokes, Ethan? Because usually I'm like, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Gotcha. You know, no. It's like, it's really interesting. So it's such a unique environment to a lot of the audience members that they enjoy being in it. And it's always like, it seems really consistent that they always want to be a participant as well during the middle of the show. Like a lot of people do,
and that's how
really
and that's how you that's the, that was your first experience. You did that was
yes.
it last month?
No, it was a while ago. I think it was like I had Andy asked me to be on the October show somewhere early summer, so it was a while ago.
And do you stand up regularly?
I try to. I'm trying to make it like a part of.
So you go to a lot of mics.
I try to hold myself to go to 1-2 mics a week.
It's a fair number. You have a full-time job and a life and all that stuff.
I mean, yeah, but I don't do anything.
Well,
there.
that's a fair number for somebody that has a full-time job and a life and whatnot. So you've had some time to put a set together is what my question.
Oh yeah.
So absolutely. So had you done stand up when you came and you got up during the audience participation? You'd done stand up before?
Yeah, for definitely around like 15 to 16 months.
Okay. So you've been doing it
for a while.
So now like 20 months or?
Right. No, that was maybe we just passed my first set in Missouri. Open mic. My first mic was in the summer of my junior year, so it would be 2 years ago.
It's really bizarre that you bring up Missouri because we just had like a 15-minute conversation about St. Louis
and Kansas City.
So right before you came in.
Yeah, so this is like our eyes lit up.
Yeah, it was like a Twilight Zone.
Those two cities exist.
Yeah. So
it's true.
Did they? How long ago was it? Because I brought it up. How long ago did they try to change the legal drinking age in Missouri? I feel like that was definitely on a ballot. In maybe 2012.
It was when I was, yeah. Oh, I thought it was more recent than that.
Okay.
I think I went to the main state school and the
U of M. Go Tigers.
Yeah, it's great. I enjoyed a lot of my time there. It was, interesting. But also really, really, really boring. But anyways,
that was another question we had.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck do you do in Missouri? That was the whole point of the conversation was they raised the drinking age because
they lowered the drinking age.
Okay,
so they try to lower the drinking age so they could get a bunch of 18-year-olds to come into their state.
Kind of like how everyone goes to Canada or Mexico now to drink underage.
Right. So my response to that was I remember they made when I was there, they made it a wet campus. On
Hell
my
yeah.
sophomore year.
Hell yeah.
So that was like the big news. I don't, you're probably right.
John's like, I'm going back to school, Ma.
Yeah. That's where Michael Sam is from, right?
Yes.
Missouri.
Michael Sam. It's Phil Pressey.
That's Austin McLeod, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Austin McLeod.
Doriel Green Beckham.
Are we just naming like a
Chase
professional
Daniel,
athletes now?
Jeremy Macklin.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is way too.
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
Wow. Ew.
Got him. Yeah, gross, right?
What trash heap is he sitting on now?
San Fran.
Yeah. Was he like
is
a seventh string?
Is he on a... No, he doesn't. I mean,
starts
no, no, no.
San Francisco.
Hoyer, right,
listen,
Hoyer still... Hoyer.
Motherfuckers, this is not a sports
real,
show.
Yeah.
Do we have any callers? Any callers coming
Talk about your dick. More about your dick and less about sports.
I don't like, I let my dick do the talking.
Yeah. Michael Sam probably has a good piece.
You think so?
Yeah, God, he has a good piece.
Do you think it,
what is
but
he doing
But do you
now?
Think he has a solid 5 minutes?
Michael Sam probably goes around the country just doing motivational speaking.
Yeah.
I remember my buddy told me in New York, he told me, like, right after Michael Sam came out, he went to a comedy club, and Damon Wayans was on stage, and he just did, like, the most homophobic 15 minutes on Michael Sam. Like, really bad.
Those old Def Jam guys, they... The homophobia, they really lean into it.
Has there ever been a gay comedian on Def Comedy Jam? That would be interesting to find out.
I could see like Mario Cantone doing it like 20 years ago or whatever, but I don't think there ever has.
Who's out.
Yeah. It'd be worth looking into. Maybe something to see. They just had on Netflix, they just had like a 25th anniversary.
Yeah, they do have something, yeah.
For Def Jam, someone told me about it.
It's kind of...
Talking about how great that Bernie Mac set was. God damn. That's easily the best 5 minutes of comedy. That's my favorite 5 minute set ever. Any talk show, anything.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Pull my dick out and it casts a shadow. That's like, so good.
Oh, boy.
Every set should be that. Every time.
Speaking of dick, God rest his soul, if he was here, he could, pull his dick out and do a set.
Bernie Mac
tonight, but he's dead. So
who is it? I keep seeing YouTube clips of it.
That's why if he was alive, we just call him.
I'm gonna butcher his name, but Bert Kreischer.
Yeah,
didn't he do a special naked?
He has this thing where he takes off his shirt.
Yeah, he takes off his shirt a lot.
Okay,
I don't know if I get it. But
that one where he talked about the Russian mafia and he had his shirt off the whole.
Yeah. I've seen the YouTube. I've seen that show up on the side, but then I'm just like. Is this guy naked? Because it's just showing. It's just showing like his like chest up. And
yeah,
like,
I think he just takes his shirt off.
Do you know his origins or his origin story? Have you heard this?
No.
So he went
is it like
to...
an X-Men.
Yeah, he was bit by a radioactive comedian.
Oh. You nailed it. I'm not even going to tell.
He's built by a Borscht Belt comedian from the '60s
in a lab. No, he went to like a really big party school, like somewhere in Florida, I think, and he was the. Like Rolling Stone called him the biggest party animal in the country. He had like articles written about him. He had these crazy parties. So he has all these crazy stories that like are the basis of his stand-up set. And he got into it that way. Just
Holy
being
shit.
Famous off partying as a college student. And
that's
now,
a good way to get into comedy is just get famous and then do stand-up.
Just be popular and then.
I'm working on my career. I'm working, I promise. I got a career in line.
Yeah, you gotta get famous for doing something else. Yeah. Bo Burnham got YouTube famous and then he had management and an agent before he ever stepped foot on a comedy club.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? Never done a show before and he had millions of followers and an agent.
Do you know who had never done a show before? This might be more ballsy. Bob Newhart had never done stand up. His first time ever doing stand-up was the album he recorded. That is like the comedy album.
No,
yes,
really?
That was his first time ever doing stand-up.
Crazy.
He did radio stuff, and he would do like bits on the radio, but he had never been in front of a crowd, and he was like, he did.
That's nuts. I had no idea. A headlining set
that he recorded.
that stands up.
That's like the Beatles of comedy.
That's crazy. Mm. I had no idea.
That's bizarre.
Did anybody see the new Seinfeld?
I saw it.
I did.
See, that's the reaction that most of the people have given Listen, it's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anything but Seinfeld from him. But there were a lot of really solid jokes. I laughed out loud several times, which I can tell you a lot of specials I can watch and appreciate and not laugh.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of specials I can go, that was good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that was good. Oh, that's good. And not laugh. But I laughed out loud probably 6-7 times.
I think what I boiled it down to was like, I'm not going to be upset about it because I should have expected it. You know, like that's, you go to Seinfeld
for
one particular
thing. That's exactly what I expected when I turned it on, you know, and expect them to come out and do fucking an hour of Chris Rock, you know? Yeah. He did Jerry Seinfeld.
That I want to see. I want to see that special.
Like, great.
Chris Rock, I want to hear what he thinks about what has gone on in the past, you know, 10 years since his last special came out. Seinfeld, it's like, no one's turning to him to be like, what's his racial injustice in America? What's he gonna say? Or what's he gonna have? He has some good new fresh jokes, but they're all fun.
There were a lot of bits that I had heard on it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I think most of it
was all stuff that he had done before.
Absolutely.
If not all of it.
Absolutely.
I think all of it might have been stuff that he'd done before.
Maybe like the take the Uber. Oh, you take it.
Yeah, the Uber opening bit.
You take it.
Yeah.
It was, there were two bits on there. I felt like I had to labor through it just because I want to know if it was, I don't know if it was because I was familiar with the material so much or if it was just hard to listen to and watch. But there were two bits on there that blew my mind that he was like, this is a good representation of me. The yo-yo bit that he did, where he's like, he's just like, yo-yo was used as a weapon. Can you imagine that? Like
coming
a plane coming
planes,
by
yeah.
and then just, boom. I was like, Jerry, man. There was that. And then there was the sock bit, which I think he did on Seinfeld.
Somebody said that too.
Where
there was a couple
socks.
Seinfeld
I liked
bits.
The sock bit though.
Yeah.
On the
I liked the sock bit too when I heard it in the 90s.
Well, yeah,
No, sorry, Jerry. Sorry, I know you listen to this podcast very much.
he's writing the strongest email.
I like a lot about Seinfeld now is what was great about the special was the in-between stuff where it was just like him outside of his house just being like, nope, this is where I'm funny. Yeah. Would have been funnier if I lived in a crack house in Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or when he laid out all of his jokes.
Right. There was a bit.
Cool.
I was curious about it. There was cool. I mean, he did like some like artsy kind of things that was unique and was different that I was definitely interested in because it's similar to his like tone with like cars, the coffee and cars with comedians.
That's
where
really,
it's like a real life kind of deal, you know?
That's where Seinfeld fits in today's comedy world.
Right.
He is the best person to talk about comedy with.
Yes.
Like he's such like a valuable resource and he can talk to anyone about anything and it's great. But then it's just like some of his stuff and I know a lot of people who have like a hard time with the whole cadence, his formulaic comedy.
Yeah.
There were parts of the show where I felt like he was doing a caricature of him.
Yeah.
You know, it's specifically like the Uber one.
Yeah.
Take the Uber.
You take it.
You know, it was like.
I did like, there was one joke I really liked on it, and it was just like him. This was what I liked about, did you ever see the documentary Comedian?
Yeah.
Which I thought was great, and the material he was working on, I really liked it a lot. It was so different than what he had normally been doing, but still similar, still very Seinfeldian. But I really liked, some guy in the crowd was just like, what's the problem with the Mets? And he's just like, well, it's baseball and no one cares. that was great. He's got chops, man. I think it's going to work out for him.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. I'm back.
Dan Martin.
That's me. I'm back.
Welcome.
So this weird thing happened and, Gary Goldman just walked into the audience of the Naked Comedy Show.
Really?
And he saw my set. So I don't know. I actually, if you go to my Facebook Live, toward the end of the, before I hit finish, I saw him outside, so I put him on there. We talked to him for a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he doing a set?
No, he's here. He was asking about Brian Gordon, so I think he's here to see Brian.
Nice.
But yeah, he saw, Julie's dick, and then mine. And then,
nice.
So he's hanging out, but that was funny. Cool.
Shout out to Gary.
Yeah, shout out to Gary Goldman, one of the best. Around.
Sounds like we're just like the in memoriam section of like Casey Kasem's Top 40. Shout out to Gary, wherever you are.
Wherever you are, Gary Goldman. I don't do impressions, but this is Casey Kasem.
That sounds more like Jack Bauer.
This is Casey Kasem.
Now, hang on, if you try and do Jack Bauer, I think you like Casey Kasem.
Sounds more like Jack Palance.
Jack Bauer. Give me the 24. Give me the 24.
He says that
this
a lot.
This is Casey Kasem.
This is Casey Bowers. This is Casey. This is Casey Casey.
Mr. Cosby? We're here on American Top 40 with your host, Casey Kasem.
Dan and I are right. Dear Casey, my girlfriend... girlfriend likes Jell-O. She loves the Jell-O. How do you feel about 9/11?
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Was Bill Cosby involved with 9/11?
Was he one of the conspirators?
He was in a sleeper cell.
Oh, boy.
Put him to sleeper cell?
Yeah.
Putin does not melt steel beams. I'm not good at impressions.
Well, how hot, actually, you know, how hot could you liquefy pudding to melt steel beams?
Will
it get hotter than airplane fuel?
What temperature does water boil at? Because this seems plausible.
No idea. I just named every athlete who went to Missouri that I can think of.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you what temperature you boiled.
That was mutually really impressive and really unimpressive all at the same time.
Did anyone talk to, oh no, she's not back. Did anyone talk to Ethan about, his set?
Yes.
All right. So that's done.
Ethan said it went swimmingly.
Mm-hmm.
Nick said it went swimmingly. Yeah. And then Ethan accused
me of not knowing what the fuck I was talking about.
We have not gotten our verdict actually.
Swimmingly is an adverb that we use a lot in my family for Mad Libs.
Okay. I was expecting a twist of a joke there.
No, my wife and I and my daughter.
Looking for an M. Night Shyamalan ending for this. And
swimmingly has been dead this whole time.
Do people love swimming? I mean, like, I swim, sure. But people, do they love it? Why? What's so great? Why does swimmingly, what came first? The verb or
like the flow, you know, the things went swimming.
Ah, smooth, yeah.
Things swam along.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things flailed in the water until they eventually drowned.
I don't relate.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, though. It was a compliment. It was a compliment, I think.
Yeah.
And,
Julie wanted to get her after interview over with and then has not come back here yet.
All right.
She was like, Gary Goldman saw me naked and now can we do this? And I'm like, I'm putting
Stop doing that voice.
Well, this is Gary Goldman, Julie Mazarahi.
I saw Tim McIntyre on the way over here.
All right, okay.
He was hosting the show next door. So I was out in the hallway and I ran into Tim and I said, come back and chat with us for a minute if you want, even though you're not on a naked show.
Can somebody?
You're a funny human being.
John, maybe you can somebody go get Julie.
Yeah, I'm going to go because if Justin's up, Brian's probably up, so I need to go on deck.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Shout out to my friends.
Thanks.
Bye. John's friends. Bye, John. Thanks
also,
for...
Also, I found...
The Honorable John Baglio.
Thank you for hitting me with stuff.
Yeah, I hit Dan with a clipboard very hard. This is my favorite thing. I found there's insect sting relief.
Oh, yeah.
The first aid kit, so...
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
But it will never take
you're going to get stung.
It'll never take the sting. It'll never take the sting on a 9/11.
I can't.
Jesus Christ.
Why? I didn't get... What if I'm allergic? I have sensitive skin.
I was going to put it in your mouth. I was going to make you swallow it. No, what I didn't.
You can't make me swallow. You've tried before. And it's not to your... This smells. It smells. Thank you. My real life troll. My middle school... My middle school bully, John Baglio.
Was a genuine fart that came out of John Baglio's asshole.
Yeah, now I'm going to make Julie use that mic. This is going to be great.
John, you just farted on my microphone.
Huh?
If you sit her there and she gets pink eye, that's on you.
Well, do you have pink eye butt?
That's on you.
It is on me.
That's on you.
It's on me.
You don't have to have pink eye butt. You just get pink eye from getting rectal fecal bacteria in your eye.
John, I would go because Brian's probably up.
Yeah, I think everyone has pink
John
eye
Baglio,
butt.
John Baglio, you owe me a microphone.
And pink eye relief wipes.
Yeah, let's use the insect relief napkin on that fart. On the fart microphone.
I came back here, Nick, and you guys were having a kind of a constructive conversation with John. It doesn't seem like it went too off the rails.
No, it was pretty good. We talked about Montreal for a minute in Missouri. We did a little geography, and then we talked a little bit about sports, and then I tried to rein it in off the sports and get people to talk about their dicks again.
Yeah.
And then we talked to Ethan about his set.
Yeah.
And
that Sting release stuff.
Austin came by for a minute. We talked to Austin for a moment. And then you showed up.
And here I am.
And then and then John farted on the microphone.
It was
like right on my microphone.
Like right on it, dude.
Oh yeah.
It was chaos before I left. John was
hitting
me with clipboards, and he was
got really bizarre back here,
balancing cups on my head. And
I wouldn't say that's the most bizarre. It's definitely the second most bizarre.
It's pretty bizarre.
Because one time at the podcast, there was a girl that was showing her puckering asshole.
Yeah.
I forget who that was. It was a comic
we're going to go back on Facebook Live.
It was a comic who had been a sex worker at some point, so she had zero inhibition about her body.
Just to preface this, we are back on Facebook Live talking about a woman showing her puckering asshole.
Yeah, yeah. So she bent over and spread her ass cheeks apart, and then you could watch her.
She didn't realize this was a podcast?
Well, she was showing us, and then we were describing her puckering asshole on the podcast.
Holy shit.
So you had go a back, reaction. Like,
holy go back, shit.
If you go back like two or three the backstage of the Naked Comedy Show, which, by the way, is the name of the podcast, and I can't fault you for not getting it right, because Matt Kona has never got it right, and he's the fucking host of the show.
We can edit this. Welcome to Backstage.
No, we're not going
to
edit it, because it's way more entertaining for me that the host has never got the fucking name of the show right.
Yeah, no one told me, so. You can't blame me.
No, I don't blame you at all.
Andy paid me early. I don't even have to be here right now.
That's great.
Just get the fuck out.
I don't blame you, especially since the actual host of the entire show has never gotten it right.
What's Matt Kona? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So we talked about this a few minutes ago, but just for the benefit of people watching at home, if you saw the first live video before I ended it, you saw Gary Goldman in the wild, in his natural habitat, walk into the Improv Boston and me accost the poor guy and make him come on my video. But then...
And then you showed him your dick.
But then Gary Goldman saw my set. Gary Goldman saw my set, if you know what I mean.
Your set, your dick.
My set of balls.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's more... It's like
one.
Yeah.
It's like one thing.
Thank you.
Your dick and balls are like one... like one, like a head of cauliflower.
Gobble, gobble, one of us. Yeah. Yep. My balls are a cult.
It's just like a bunch of broccoli.
Yes. Broccoli crowns. We're waiting on Julie.
See if you can get Gayer Goldman to come back here and talk to us on the podcast.
Mizrahi, she was like,
oh, you got it right. Nice.
I need to go. Can we do this quick? And I said, I have one leg in my underwear. So as soon as I'm dressed. Yeah. And then I ran back and I haven't seen her. So we'll see. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go out and see if I can accost Gary Goldman myself and see if I can get him to come back here. I told Tim McIntyre to come back here and talk to us.
He's in the audience. He might be...
Tim Mack is?
No.
Gary Goldman.
Gary is. He might come out. He came to see Brian Gordon, so maybe you can get them both to come back. Tell Brian I promise to give him time without Justin yelling about 9/11. So that'll be
okay. And he's probably up very close to now, because you said Justin Petru just went up right after you.
Yeah, Justin was up when I came back. So
Brian is probably
he's
going
probably
right
on
soon.
Stage. He could be on stage. Okay. This is not the show is not sponsored by Coke Zero.
Especially for those of you that can't see that, they're listening to this on their iPhones.
I'm doing this thing where I'm like talking to my Facebook and to a recording. So what are you gonna do? So. Ethan.
Yes.
I don't know, let's riff it.
You sure?
Till everyone gets back here.
Yeah.
You had a good time.
Yeah, it's always
You did a 5-minute set?
Yeah, I think I turned it into a little bit closer to 7 accidentally.
Accidentally?
I got a couple of responses from the audience, and I took the bait.
Yeah. Hi, Laura. On my Facebook. It's going to be a recording, but...
That's watching your Facebook Live.
Hi, Laura.
5 minutes, finally you got somebody that's watching the show.
Oh.
Hi, Laura.
Lots of people have been responding and watching. Yeah. Thank you for making fun of me.
There are more than...
really funny to me. I was walking away like, finally was starting to watch 5 minutes into recording.
We got Dan Biggins, Will Herber, Laura Pierre, Stephen Lips.
There's more than one person watching.
There's more than one person.
There's more than one Laura.
And now, you're watching Ethan. Hi. Whoa. Who's that?
What?
Whoa. Who's that guy coming out?
No.
It's his impression of Bill Cosby. So, you did a full set this time.
Yes.
And I know you probably already talked about it. And let's try. Tell me something you didn't say earlier.
I said hi to my mom.
Is she here?
In the crowd. No, she's not. But
Laura says hi, Ethan.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
That was not planned.
Sorry I missed you, honey. My wife is watching on Facebook Live, and she says I didn't mention her. I mentioned you on stage, talked about the things I talk about. So, yeah, there you go. Don't do it now. It's too late. Oh, I'm fighting. No, it's just... honey, I came out, and this is for the benefit of the pod. I came out, and they played some weird music when I came out, like Enya or something. And I made them play it again. I was like, what is that? And then they played it again, and I was like, I've never entered a room naked to weird, like, chant music. I said, later when I go home, and I had to use the F word. When I go home and F word with my wife, I'm going to come out to some... Blah, 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 and I did, like, a thing, so... I made jokes. I'm sorry. My wife said not to interrupt others. I interrupted you?
I don't think so.
And he doesn't even think I did. So, honey, look, Ethan, tell my wife I'm nice.
My wife, I'm nice.
See?
Right?
That's what I wanted you to say. So, you said hi to your mom? No, she's not here.
No, she's not.
Tell me something.
But I did put that role on someone later.
Oh, you made a lady your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looked pretty much the same age as me, which was great.
As you. Is your mom the same age as you? That's weird.
I never asked.
Never asked? I actually don't know her that well.
Yeah. She's cool.
It's all right.
Yeah, after she started beating me at video games, I just...
Well, see, you were like, after she started beating me at video games.
Right.
For me, that sentence would have ended at the word me.
Well, they were violent video games.
She started beating you with the controllers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Help.
Get Ethan out of this abusive relationship with his fictional mother. Somebody help this boy.
She's in the crowd.
So you made a lady in the audience your mom.
Yes.
So that's something you've done before?
No.
No?
I just would be... I kind of came... to at the end of the set where I realize, hey, I'm naked. Like, oh, it would be funny if a parent comes to one of these shows.
Yeah.
And I just said, thanks, Mom.
So you just gave it up. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I'm proud of it.
Oh, it's
definitely
good.
Definitely proud of that.
So you feel like...
All other jokes or bits were shit.
Here's a good question, and I'm going to cut you off because my wife's wrong. You interrupt others when you have something to say. How much, so you do stand up and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever done improv? We're at Improv Boston. You can't hear me, Laura. Laura says, can't hear you. Oh boy.
Shit.
I'm talking loud, Mike. I'm talking into a mic. I don't know what to tell you. Oh boy. We're at Improv Boston.
Yes.
Have you ever done improv before?
I've auditioned. And I was in, like, the improv club at my college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I really did enjoy it. I think there's not – what is great about stand-up for me is that there is – you get to decide, like, how you're going to use this space.
Yeah.
And the topics that you're going to
– And what I was going to ask, too, is, like, how much – how do you write? How much of your stuff is like, I wrote everything, I say every word I wrote? How much of it is like, I'm going to put this out there, but leave some room?
No, I generally, like, I'll text myself a premise or something that I notice that's like a really, like, the other day I saw a no standing zone sign, you know? I text that to myself. I'm like, okay, there's some opportunity to make this a good, like, bit to talk about. Because everyone knows that everyone hates no standing zones, you know?
Yeah.
And that could be my, like, I realize, oh, you know, I could like no standing zones, maybe. Or, you know, like, or, like, maybe that's where my people,
your people.
Assemble.
Your people.
Yeah.
Like, people who have cerebral palsy as a race.
Yeah.
My people.
Yeah. So
is it a sitting zone?
No, there's no, see, that's, yes.
It just says no standing.
No sitting zones, that would be exclusive. I can't go there. I don't know. Maybe there is some. I just haven't been there. You know?
My wife said, it was my meat hands covering the microphone on my phone. We're fine now. My meat hands.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you gotta.
Technically, everyone's hands are made of meat.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Don't be redundant. Is this Laura? No, no, no.
It's the wife, Marissa. Yeah.
Marissa.
Let me tell you something.
I'm sorry, Marissa. Do you still like me?
In some cannibalistic cultures or in cannibalistic tribes,
yes,
the hands are a delicacy because it's like that's the most tender.
It's good, yeah. I'm
it's like
sure
the fillet.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, the
it's
hand.
It's some like fine meat.
Yeah,
probably. You know,
because
like,
it's the most worked.
Like the tail of a lobster.
Yeah, because it's the most worked.
Exactly.
Right. So
that makes me, you know, hungry for hands, hungry for fingers. You know,
hands down. No, it's not the fingers. It's more so like the palm.
Yeah. Oh,
the center cut.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. I'm just.
So make fun of my meat hands all you want, but someone
wants that meat.
Wants to eat that meat hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other hand for dessert.
I don't think anybody's coming back here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe Julia found her guy. Found her man.
Oh, yeah. She was.
And they're on their honeymoon.
She put it out there. I heard the set.
She did.
She put it out there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
At the end of the set.
What'd she say?
She was talking about how she was
Ethan
like.
Ethan was so great. Yeah.
She was talking about how she was like vegan and stuff like that and goes
single.
On dates and single and gee, I wonder why. But then she, I want her to be back here to like go over this.
Yeah.
But then she had mentioned that she gets all of her protein from blowjobs.
Ah.
And then she made a joke about how she's going to go backstage and get some protein or something.
Ah.
But she put it out there at the end. She was like, you know, hey, if you're out here, I came here thinking maybe I'd meet my soulmate kind of a thing. If you're out here, if you're out there and you see what you like. She put it out there.
I mean, it's a story. That is a great story. Like, hey, where'd you meet? You know?
Yeah.
Would that be a story that people would be like?
I met your mom.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother, the TV show with Julie Mizrahi and some guy.
It was quite innocent, actually.
Yeah. Actually, I saw her naked before it was dirty.
Before I really remembered her name.
Before I touched her. Kind of a thing. We have to wrap it up.
Yeah, Sam, because we're running late.
Oh, but Julie never came back. Is Julie going to come back?
I don't know.
Have Julie come back and then we'll wrap it up. We've been talking about her for God knows how long.
Is the show ending? Is that what time is
it? The show is ending and then the podcast is ending.
Okay.
Sure. But I'm fine with that because I'll just go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
This has been an interesting Facebook Live experience too.
It seems exhausting. You have to hold it up. There's so many like utilities that you can use. I feel like,
I don't mind holding it though.
Yeah, it seems like you don't. It's true.
No, I'm good. I got meat hands.
Quite natural. Yeah.
Yeah. Hands. My hands are my own, and not your hands, but their hands. Jewel.
Yes.
You guys like
classic.
Jewel?
Who doesn't?
I don't know. Savages. My hands. So, I don't see Julie. We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
The show's running
She's
late.
She's busy. She's working on Gary.
She's working on Gary.
I feel bad. She's a very nice lady.
But
any listeners should pursue.
I'm going to say.
Great wife.
I'm going to say goodnight now then.
Yeah.
And we'll go, if we see her, we'll get her. But
we'll say you said hi too.
Nick is
you listeners.
Nick David's not back here. I'm supposed to wrap it up. I'm not going to shut any of the equipment off. Good night, Naked Land. Backstage at the Naked Comedy Show podcast. Listen to us. Go back and listen to more episodes. Come to the Naked Comedy Show the first Thursday of every month at Improv Boston, 9:30. Get tickets online at improvboston.com and get your tickets as early as possible. The show sells out. Bring a friend. Don't tell them what it is. That's my sign-off, Nick, when you hear this on the editing machine. Good night. I'm going to walk away with hot mics. Good night.